So, okay, what are we doing for our arbitrary scale?
Well, I mean, yeah, something involving
Oh, God.
the hospitalizations, of course, but I mean,
What's this? Is
arbitrary scale
this
dancing crabs.
Dancing Crabs? How many dancing African funerals is this?
An arbitrary scale Ghanaian pallbearers.
Ghanaian pallbearers. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. We own a reverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I am Dan.
This is episode 160, and we've got three albums that we're going to review today. We have The Album by Blackpink, we have Savage Mode 2 by 21 Savage and Metro Boomin, and we have Shiver by Yonzi. No singles this week because we didn't find any,
No
really.
podcast does it like this,
Yeah.
by the way, as far as like,
Oh, yeah.
we're going to Korean pop. We're going to trap, and then we're going to very experimental, weird Yonziness.
Yeah, it's just
no
like
other podcast
so.
Line up like
It's just
that.
like extreme broad categories, and I love it.
Yes,
So eclectic.
we had a lot of
One
singles.
becomes eclectic.
You had a lot of singles last week. That'll
You way
hopefully
too many.
satiate you.
Fuck.
Sometimes there's a lot of singles. Sometimes there's fewer singles. This is one of the fewer singles weeks. But
Yes.
while I've got your attention, Power Report is also on hiatus
Oh,
this
yeah.
week. But basically, the Power Report schedule you should just like not apply and think about anymore because there's going to be in between one or two episodes every week from here until Election Day, whether it's debate coverage, whether there's interviews that I've done, whether there's just like general political talk with me, Sean, Bam, and Caesar and the boys. All of that is on Power Report. Make sure you're subscribed to Power Report at powerreport.world as far as podcasts go. And if you're subscribed to me on YouTube, youtube.com/danfromtheinternet, the Power Report episodes go there as well. Also, make sure you're subscribed to this here fine podcast, Audio Face, because over on the Audio Face side of things, we've got two bonus episodes coming out this
Yes.
month on Biba Doobie and Gorillaz, as well as respective albums from them and a number of other great things. This is the kind of last hurrah music-wise for 2020, begins in the fall. So we are getting right into it. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of it, because it'll be fun. Let's go straight into the news. And this is a very Audio Face wheelhouse kind of one.
So Whitney Houston, a hologram debuts, but without permission of the estate.
Yeah,
we've had lots of talks about holograms and shit, and we're like,
episodes, Audio Face episodes like 50 through 100 were basically the music holograms podcast because we talk about it so much.
We talked about it a lot, exactly. And basically, if you haven't listened to us in the past or whatnot, which you should do, because that's some of our most saucy content.
Yeah, we don't make them like that anymore.
We definitely don't make them like that anymore. We basically came to the conclusion that holograms are okay as long as the estate okays it and everything, or whoever is the beneficiary, blah, 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 of the deceased human can do it. But we're still like,
yeah,
it's a little tight.
You generally want to respect the wishes of the deceased. And it, of course, opens a technology, of course, makes a new barrier into this, making this a little bit difficult because now the deceased are going to have to be asking questions, especially as a celebrity. It's like, okay, how do you want to appear when you die?
Yeah,
how do you
exactly.
want to appear after you die? Which is
it's a wow, weird question.
Flipping through the Bible, whoa, shit, they didn't cover this one. But yeah, this one was a particular mess because basically the company behind making the Whitney Houston hologram was called Base Hologram. And they've made holograms of Billie Holiday, Tupac, Biggie, Michael Jackson, Jackie Wilson, and a couple of others. And so they're kind of just doing this proof of concept. Hey, we have become, because there is no God, the premier celebrity hologram company. We have become gods. And so this is just us kind of showing our potential. So their argument is that this is kind of like a creative work. What if I were creating an animation of Whitney Houston, regardless if she were dead or alive? The animation is like my sort of property because I created it. But once you get into the realm of hologram where it's extremely similar and it looks like that person
that's,
saying
that's the
it,
line.
Like definitely a person outside of the scenario, just in the audience could go, yeah, it's very unclear whether or not the estate chose this, whether Whitney Houston wanted to appear like this or not, because it's just the Whitney Houston we think we see her in a hologram form talking. So that's very confusing. It's going to continue to create a lot of ethical quandaries.
And there's a couple musical artists we did maybe about 2 years ago that stated in their will or whatever that, oh, it's okay for me to be used as a hologram. Which was the first time we're like, whoa, that's kind of weird to be used in a will. So it's never good to go against the estate, though. You need to get permission, everything, of the beneficiaries and of the extended family and stuff, because they're the ones that it's really personal to them, so.
Yeah. On the subject of the estate, Whitney Houston's estate has approved the biopic tentatively titled I Want to Dance with Somebody. So it'll be kind of about her in a similar style as Bohemian Rhapsody, because it has the same screenwriter.
Okay.
So, should be interesting. That one did I'd say a 75 to 80% good job of, doing the Queen justice. They played around with the plot and timeline.
And then the timeline, because of some of the timeline, I was like,
yeah. Like, if you're reading too much of the timeline of the film, it ruins the entire story of Queen, but, like, as a recreation of it, was not a bad film.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, online.
Meanwhile, Meg Thee Stallion, so she debuted on SNL. By the way, who the hell wants to watch SNL anyways?
Saturday Night Live, much like the presidential debates, is just like a tradition and an institution that no one has like raised their hand and said, let's not do this anymore. So they all continue doing it.
It's pretty, it has been for a while.
But yeah, SNL debuted their new season this week, and Meg Thee Stallion was the first musical guest.
Yeah, but she definitely did like a whole Protect Black Lives stuff. She did a whole thing for demanding justice for Breonna Taylor, whole thing for Black Lives Matter going out, like pretty powerful statements.
Yeah. While she was performing Savage with her backup dancers, the backdrop said Protect Black Women in it, therefore highlighting the Breonna Taylor thing, talking about the thing that happened with her with the whole Tory Lanez.
And I was going to say, she should be Protect My Foot.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's some pretty interesting imagery in there that was going on from the video where, like, there's bullet holes and then the bullet holes are bleeding and stuff like that. It's pretty,
it's like
in there.
Yeah.
But no, it seemed like a really incredible kind of performance, at least for what it was. A political statement performance in a place where, for better or worse, it will be seen and covered by a lot of media. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, music performances on late night comedy shows is very much like a vestige of the 20th century thing. I think most people our age watch musical performances either live in person or like on YouTube.
Yeah, that's
so like it's, and that's how most people will probably be watching the SNL performance too if they watch that. So
yeah, exactly.
It's a little bit outdated, but nevertheless, Megan Thee Stallion was given this platform and she used it pretty damn well.
Exactly.
We've seen some whompers as far as the Woke Award goes, and we've seen some whompers as far as the Sleep Award goes. So that might not make it to the top this year, but it was a pretty stellar performance nonetheless.
Yes. All right, so moving on to our first album review. Well, it's a more of an EP, but we have the album by Blackpink.
It's a drop.
A drop, yeah.
Eight songs, 24 minutes.
Jinx. So Blackpink are part of the YG group, which, not to be confused with our favorite cheating dude, YG, Viper YG. It's the Korean pop giant YG Entertainment that own a lot of
Big
Korean,
Bang, a whole bunch of
K-pop bands and stuff.
Quick primer on K-pop, much as it is in America, although there it's just a lot more kind of like obvious. There are large companies that run the bands essentially, and they heavily stylize them and fit their image for public. Mm-hmm. So like,
and some of them are formed by the groups and stuff as well.
So, yeah,
but we've talked about that before. But anyways, going into Blackpink, so they're a K-pop group, but they also do part of their songs in English and part of their songs in Korean, and they have other guests and stuff, because they're pretty popular. Well, not all female group, which is always great.
Yeah, whereas the easy comparison here is like BTS, all male Korean pop group. We've done a couple of their albums before, Map of the Soul, Persona, I remember too. This is, I think, a little more, while BTS is a lot of like rapping and vocals, this is a little bit of rapping, but less skilled in that, more with like the singing. They all have pretty good singing.
They all have really good voices.
Worked well together.
This is more like straight pop into a lot of their songs and stuff.
Absolutely, almost painfully pop music.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's some of the songs are decent. The two features are Ice Cream, Selena Gomez, which I did hear before because that song kind of just blew up. Baby, you deserve a treat. Diamonds on my wrist. We call me ice cream. You could double dip cause I know you like me. Ice cream, chillin', chillin', ice cream, chillin'. Ice cream, chillin', chillin', ice cream, chillin'. Ice cream, chillin', chillin', ice cream, chillin'. Ice cream, chillin', chillin', ice cream. chillin' like a villain, yeah, rah, 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 mitchin', the tons of the wind, my life. It's like your typical pop song. Selena's part's all right in it. The production isn't wowing. It's, you know, kind of your bread and butter pop, or is Caesar's favorite thing, meat and potatoes,
yeah,
for pop. After that, you have one with Cardi B, which is Bet You Wanna. Those are your only two features on it. The rest of them is just them and the production. And a lot of, and then there's only a couple songs that are in English, like How You Like That Ice Cream, Bet You Wanna are the, pretty much the only ones that are fully in English. And then other songs are like half in Korean, half in English. Their English is very, very good. They don't have any accent when they do it at all, which is interesting because when BTS do some songs in English, you could definitely hear their accents over it. So sometimes it's a little hard to understand and whatnot. So it's interesting with some groups that do it both in their languages, and Yeondi does that too as well, which we'll get into his album later. So it's interesting to hear when artists try to do it in two different languages, especially when it's so different from like Korean to English, because English is hard as fuck.
Yes.
And it doesn't make sense. So I always give people props when it's their second language, especially when they're doing songs to it.
Yes.
So I'll give them props.
It's great that you're giving props there, because my criticism is that, like, of the English songwriting that they did, pop, it's very
It's just bland.
Like bland.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, I'm trying to give the like translation pass thing, but like, there, some of the bars are like okay, like nothing's like the best rapping or like rhyming or bars on here are done, of course, by Cardi B. Take the car keys, drive me crazy. Cardi a good catch, but you gotta chase me. Grab my waistline, but don't ever waste me. Turn on please me, but don't ever play me. One of a kind, you can't replace me. Time to shine, I buzz down the AP. The stakes is higher, let's do what we both desire. On God, like I'm in the choir. I bet you if you make me sweat, I still be on fire. You wanna touch it, cause you wanna run. But that, and there really wasn't that much of her. That was my one gripe of the song, was her parts were good, but I wish there was more of her on it. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of vibe with this album and a lot of the other releases that I do like from a lot of the K-pop groups, is that when they do releases, they tend to be smaller. They get very much
short.
The point. Because I kind of understand, hey, this is pop, and a lot of pop, especially in an album, especially at the rate and clip at which we release it, can get kind of annoying. So here's a shorter package, and I didn't find myself I was looking at going like, okay, this is like near the last song. It was. And that's like a good mix of like, okay, this is about the time I want it to be over, because I've like get the gist of it already.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good choice.
Yeah, that's my thing too. I'm glad that it shortened it up, because it's definitely tolerable. It's okay. It's your standard pop. This is the most poppy album I've listened to this year by far, where it's just like, it's not going to turn heads, really. It's not going to break boundaries and whatnot. It's decent pop that it's going to, you know, people are going to enjoy it for the most part, so.
Yeah. And the songs are fine. It's just, yeah. I will say, as far as, like, there's different aspects of it of the way the instrumentation of the album and the production of the album.
The production is really like, clean and crisp, naturally.
Yeah. Other than being, like, boring and very poppy, it's clean and crisp. The thing that I think is really interesting in Love to Hate Me, there's a bit where it's sort of playing around with all of the elements of your standard, like, hypey-typey EDM song. But, like, everything's just super slowed down and used very sparingly, so you can actually deconstruct those bits and turn into a standard sort of pop song. But all of like the sort of like kicks and snares that I would usually expect from like EDC or something are prevalent in different parts of this album, which kind of goes to show how much EDM has proliferated through pop music in general.
Oh, for
it's a very
sure.
standard pop album. But I think that was an interesting note there that I've noticed a little bit in K-pop especially, but it worked well here because those are the songs where the singers were able to really shine, and they do have really good voices. Arbitrary scale. Fuck. The arbitrary scale picked this week, and I'm not going to get anyone in legal trouble by saying who picked it, is Ghanaian Pallbearers, the meme from earlier this year that became a little bit too on the nose once people started catching COVID and dying across the country, but then kind of came all the way back around when the people who were saying that COVID was a hoax and not to worry about it all of a sudden started catching COVID within the course of like one weekend.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
These pallbearers are returning. They purely work in the realm of karma. So those who did not deserve it does not apply to you, but those who, like Chris Christie, who said that there are going to be deaths, but we should reopen anyways, who has now caught COVID-19. Okay, so the arbitrary scale this week, I don't know how we unitize these. I guess more is, in the case of karma, better.
More is better for sure. Basically, the limit is like 10, I guess. Or like 12. I don't know how many pallbearers you can have on how big of your coffin.
Oh, yeah, so. Pallbearers per on one casket, right?
Yeah.
And I guess he can't have two, but I mean, if you don't have an open casket funeral. Okay. Blackpink is solid.
Like, I'm saying it's like four pallbearers. Like it's, you got two.
But they're inside. Dancing, so there's six. Because you need a little bit, when you're dancing, you need a little bit more people to support the casket. So let's say six. Five.
Yeah, that's fine.
Five.
Two on each side, one on top.
One on top breakdance.
One on top breakdance, exactly.
Yeah.
So fine. That's fine. It's fair. Fair play.
Filmed in like a green screen room by YG Entertainment.
So, I really want to just nominate him for being a No Little Bitch on so many parts, but I think I already did on the albums. But anyways, nominated No Little Bitch, Tekashi 6ix9ine. He is hospitalized after overdosing on weight loss pills and caffeine.
So gangster.
He apparently admitted to ingesting double the recommended amount of hydroxycut. And I don't know, do you get high off weight loss pills, or is he just like trying to get weight loss because he's ate too many? Never mind.
I you don't really get any sort of vibe or feeling from weight loss pills. I mean, like, if you're in that realm and you're looking for like over-the-counter uppers or downers, then just get cough syrup. With lean or like any of the other stuff 6ix9ine is very well acquainted with anyways. Maybe he just doesn't want to use his ID because that means his witness protection will mess up. But like, I don't know. It would be the wise thing to...
But because also, isn't he still on house arrest? So if he does...
He's on a house arrest. He's on the final 4 months of home confinement with a GPS monitor that apparently is not being very closely monitored. Yeah, I guess it would be more karmically just for me to want to wish 6ix9ine good in his health or whatever. But troll's gonna troll, and this is what happens to you. I'm sorry.
Well, my thing is that if you got prescribed that he's an idiot because he would take twice the amount. Because the other thing is if you have anything too much in your system, you can get straight back to jail. Which, you know, I'm kind of down for because, you know.
Yeah, the thing with, I mean, like, you usually, you generally wouldn't get prescribed weight loss pills because of the fact that they are so often abused. Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't need to describe the ways they are abused, but yeah, like, that tends to be the issue.
Yeah. But it's hilarious.
Quite. Moving on, we have Savage Mode 2 by 21 Savage, produced entirely by Metro Boomin, with a little bit of guest production here and there.
I've seen it.
15 songs, 44 minutes long, also with some narration by Morgan Freeman.
And it was hilarious hearing Morgan Freeman say, but a rat? It's a fucking rat. It's just hilarious. But we'll get into that anyways. So you know our deep love of 21 Savage.
More even above this, our deep love, surprising love, for the 2018 Trap release, Without Warning, featuring 21 Savage, Metro Boomin, Offset, and
2017.
Quaver. 2017.
2017 right, of Without Warning, which is... That and I Am Greater Than I Was are my two favorite trap albums, hands down, hands down. I think it was September 17. Let's see if my memory serves correctly.
I always just confuse. Boom. I always confuse 17 and 18, especially in the context of doing this podcast.
Gotcha.
But, yeah.
Anyways, so you know how much like that's what turned me onto trap and actually made me listen to it and really appreciate it for more what it was. Anyways, Savage Mode 2. This is 21's first full-length album since I Am Greater Than I Was, so almost 2 years. That's good for a trap artist because we like long variations between. That's also another reason why we like him so much, because usually he just does maybe a couple features a year and that's it, and then does an album every like a year, year and a half, 2 years at most. So
yeah.
Anyways, starts off with a little intro where it's just literally an intro going on, just like set up
the
album.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman talking about the idea.
Which was hilarious because I just hear a Morgan Freeman voice. I'm like, they got Morgan Freeman to do Savage Mode 2. Fucking gangster.
Absolutely.
And then it goes into a run in which, love the production on that song.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Running, 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 wipe his nose, it was running, running,
running. Savage never did no. I bought a Hollywood, bitch, the club crucial. Oh, God. I was at the Met Gala with my shooter. Oh, God. Slaughter gang, we don't do recruiting.
It is perfect going into it. The little thing, doo-doo-doo-doo, that just goes on throughout the song. It's just heavy beats, 21's on flow, just going on perfect form, going straight through it.
In order to perfectly, like, really appreciate the song running and understanding it, you have to realize that Savage Mode 1 was basically one of the last mixtapes released by 21 Savage before, like, he really blew up, because his album came out right after that.
Oh, yeah,
and so,
okay, yeah.
With Savage Mode, you almost have this, when we talk about this with rappers a little bit, but I'll bring it up again, where when rappers are just coming up, like Vince Staples and all this stuff, you have almost like a different era of them, where they're kind of learning the bars, learning the ropes and things, but you often get something that's more raw, more dirty,
yeah,
more
exactly.
uncut, something that a little bit gets filtered out once they grow. But in order to really understand, like, Runnin', like, you have to realize, okay, this is the sequel to something that came out 4 years ago. 21 Savage is a completely different person by then, any now, bruv, since that happened. Metro Boomin's coming on to produce it, too. He's done great with 21 Savage and a lot of trap artists, and he, on his own, in the past several years, has done great with production on his own, expanding with the likes of James Blake,
The Weeknd,
Travis Scott, so many other artists. And then, like, yeah, so Runnin' serves justice for being the song you want to hear if you understand all of that hype.
Yeah.
That's the song you want to hear immediately.
And it just,
which
boom,
is good,
and
yes.
It just sucks you straight into the album, like, shit, all right, they are not playing around right now.
Yes, which was good. The rest of the album, the rest of the project, I think, was a little bit more on shaky ground, but we can, like, go through it.
Yeah, that's... There was some really good tracks in here. There's some other ones that were kind of meh, per se, but, like, as Glock in My Lap that came right after that is one of my more meh songs. It's a decent song, for sure. Like, I like it, but it's, like, right after Runnin', it was kind of just lulled a little bit, and then right after that, Mr. Right Now with Drake, really good song.
Hey, turn your phone off, take your clothes off. I'm a savage, but I fuck her to a slow song. Turn the lights down, lay the pipe down. I ain't Mr. Right, but I'm Mr. Right now. 21.
Turn your phone off, take your clothes off. I'm a sad, but I fuck her to a slow song. Said the nail lady went and did her toes wrong. Said the last man was always playing Drake songs. Yeah, cell phones out when I roll up. Yeah, the nigga had a problem till I showed up.
I hate Drake, really, but I actually like this song a lot. It's just a little, the one thing that does bother me throughout the album, 21's got to say same pussy every 24 seconds, because that just, after a while, made me a little uncomfortable. I was like, alright, I forget which song it was, just like, pussy, 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 I'm like.
I mean, he does it for Runnin', and I think he does it for.
There's a song where it just, like, opened up with that, I can't remember which one it was, and I was just like.
I'm pretty sure it's Runnin', because he kind of starts and ends with that, too.
Oh, okay.
So, it's really good. It's either Runnin' or Slide, one of those, but, like, Mr. Right Now is an interesting one, because it's, like, almost, like, R&B mode 21 Savage, which we've seen for a while, and, like, I Am Greater Than I Was is an excellent example of a lot of that happening. I can't fully take it as seriously as I can, like, seriously, Drake when he does it, because he's more, like, seriously about R&B all the time.
Yeah.
But still, like, even Drake in this lyric is ridiculous.
Funny where he's like, I'm a savage, but I fuck it to a slow song. When 21 does it, you can believe it. When Drake does it, it sounds like he's, like, a little kid in a candy style. Look like, I can do it, too. I can do it, too, big brother.
Oh,
I'm like, fucking A. He just sounds like... such, like, a sad boy on that part, and it made me laugh. But the production is great, little chimes at the beginning, the everything. Like,
yeah.
Really love 21's part. With Drake, it's just every time makes me laugh, but I do enjoy that song a lot.
Yeah. That's very good. You go into Rich Nigga Shit with Young Thug, and...
by the way, the ending of Mr. Right goes, there's a little vocal that goes on, and it's just hilarious. Yeah. And it goes right into...
It goes into Rich Nigga Shit. It's got this, it's a vocal, it's hilarious. You'll get it. There's, like, some transitionary things that go into the album. And I think a lot of those things that were added for the album don't really make it much more cohesive. If anything, it's just, like, added on flair. Like, oh, we got Morgan Freeman because we're at the point in the career we could do that. Like, but yeah, you kind of go into there. This is where I started being like, no, I don't want this album to start to lose me.
No, because this is the one song I did not like on the album, really. Was the one with the Young Thug. It's okay, but just out of all of them, that felt like the weakest link to me, because it just, production was great and everything, but just it slowed it down so much was the issue, to where it was just a little too much. But then 19 is sliding is right over that, and that was like, okay, gets you into that song a little bit more.
It's tried and true 21 Savage.
Yes.
Never forget the lyric.
Draco Brown looked like peanut butter.
No. It's...
Oh, no.
It's, oh, we no. keep showing the street, they're gonna put on the bar.
Uh-oh.
Y'all niggas talking on pillows, all my Glocks got dillos.
All my Glocks got dillos.
I had to pause every time I've heard that song, which has now been 4 times. I had to pause, go into Genius, and go, did I really just hear that?
Yeah.
It's like one of those moments where I go, like, 21's one of the best, dude.
It's just hilarious.
It doesn't sound like it's, like, that, like, groundbreaking or hilarious, or, like, amazing or yeah. hilarious out of context, but, like, 21 Savage's delivery is incredible.
Oh,
the fact
yeah.
that, like, in the other... And then the rest of the album, he's talking about some really hard shit. And then throws in these jokes in here. Like, dude's a comedian. You have to respect the
exactly.
writing on that. You have to just respect the writing on that. y'all niggas corny Frito. Damn. So, like, you at least have, like... This is one of those weird moments. We haven't had a lot in trap music. But, like, we talk about this with albums sometimes. Where, like, even where it falls, it's not... terrible. It's just like not living up to the greatness that like I know they can do.
Mm.
Which is like Sliding's a good example of this. Same with Many Men.
I like the Many Men because of it has like almost that little really high pitched beat of like early hip hop days. There's two songs, Many Men, and then another one down the line. I can't think of it right now. That also does kind of like almost Eazy-E inspired sounds.
Yeah,
we go into that. It's good. I liked Snitches and Rats interlude going into Snitches and Rats.
Because it's Morgan Freeman. The parts of the album where like Morgan Freeman's talking about trap shit are just like gold.
It's just funny because it's just I just love it. And then Stitches and Rats is hilarious.
I was
too.
Hoping so. Like here's the thing I have with the production.
It's just boring. Is all
yeah,
the problem.
I was hoping the build up and the song mm-hmm. and the name of it would be better. And what we end up getting was 21 Savage essentially creating a nursery rhyme. Like, no one can do better.
That's the only thing. Like, the lyrics in there is really good because it's like, it's like two brothers, we call them Siamese rats.
Yeah.
It's like the lyrics and everything else is great, but it's straight lined right here. That's it
yeah.
for that song.
Like, I expect it to be kind of like the crux, like the main yeah. like thing I liked about the album. Good thing that came 2 songs later with Steppin' on Nick.
Yeah, there we go.
That's ridiculous.
This is the one that sounds like Eazy-E inspired, which is like,
yeah, yeah,
you're right. In a lowrider in the middle of Carson, just like blasting that shit and just raunchiness is happening. Steppin' on Nick.
Niggas hippity hop. He was dissing on songs, and that shit got him shot. Hit his block with a broom, hit his block with a mop. We ain't talking to bitches, we ain't talking to cops. Check the forecast, I got galore cash. Had them killers on your step like DoorDash. Fuck your baby.
They have chicks working out inside the car. That's
yeah,
everything.
No, this is like 1999 to 2001 hip hop music, like Outkast, like, yeah. Cause like
mystical.
Yeah, yeah. No,
just like this reminded me of too.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is like most deaf porn, Chris Dahl and a stripper's ass in the corner. Like this is that kind of rap.
He's doing this fat booty porn.
Literally, like it's one of those classic songs, like right there. And let's talk about Metro Boomin's production a little bit. Good on him. He's got a lot of range.
God, he's really, really good producer.
Continues to improve. Continues to be great. Definitely the best trap producer in the game.
100%.
Yeah.
No one's close.
Yeah, because he can actually do things that aren't trap very well, too.
And then brand new Draco.
Also very
Draco,
good.
Draco Brown, look that peanut butter. I love that line so much.
Yeah, the album sort of like lands nicely, a little bumpy, but lands nicely. Mm-hmm. No Hop Left Behind just continues the momentum.
Yep.
And then Rip Love Said and Done.
Rip Love is just, that's a heart puller, man. That's one of those like Prime Prude 21 Savage songs where it just like rips out your heartstrings. It's like a couple of ones on It's the Album too, where you're just like, damn, man, that just
yeah.
hurts. That's Rip Love is one deep
yeah.
song.
Because, like, there's a lot of 21 Savage just, like, sort of glorifying the street life and the gang life and all that stuff. But this is actually confronting the trauma of all that.
There was a song, I forget which one it was, that he was talking about. He's like, maybe I'm from across the sea, but I'm definitely from the hood or something like that.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's like talking about him being born in England and dealing with stuff with ICE and everything was here, too. I forget which track that was, but that was another thing I heard in the lyrics. Overall, Said and Done was a good ender too because it was landed the album perfectly. I think because in the middle there was some turbulence, but then towards the end it really picked up and started to and it ended quite well, I should say.
Yeah.
Overall, I enjoyed this album a lot. There are...
It's a good collection of songs that almost work together.
Yeah, it's... what was I going to say? I don't think it's my favorite trap album of the year. I still think Meg Thee Stallion's album is, or drop, whatever you want to call that, is still probably my favorite so far. But this one has some of my favorite tracks. Because there's a lot of, there's like maybe three or four that if they did them a little bit differently, I think this would have been just knocked it out of the park. But it was so close.
Yeah.
Which is the hard thing. It was like, damn, like this could have been another Without Warning, or could have been an I Am Greater, or was. It's that close, but it's just a little bit off. But,
if anything, I feel like 21 Savage more or less nailed it with this album. Metro Boomin did very good. Benny said he did like very good with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Metro Boomin was trying to do a lot more of creative things.
He was experimenting a lot, doing different stuff.
Yeah, and 21 Savage is definitely going to allow that because he understands the musicality of it, and he'll roll it too. I think some of them were like more misses than hits, but I'd rather have like Metro Boomin and 21 Savage try something that doesn't totally work out well,
exactly,
than Metro Boomin and 21 Savage try something that like sounds like Without Warning.
Exactly.
Like
we don't want that. We want, yeah, what I was always saying on this podcast is push music forward and stuff. So
we want original gangsta Morgan Freeman.
Oh my God, yes. Make that the Instagram post to Radio Face, please. Use that.
Arbitrary scale this week, we're using the Ghanaian pallbearers because we're absolute degenerates.
This is like a solid 8 pallbearers to me. Like, this is like
this is, three, this three is you, got, you have the Dodge, you have the morgue version of the Dodge Challenger, where they have it's a little bit extended so you can put the casket there. You got spinners on the bitch, you got everything.
And whenever it hits curbs, you got to go at like not 0.5 miles an hour just to get over so you don't scrape the entire car.
You decide to put 24-inch rims on a Dodge Challenger.
You have like a millimeter width of tire on the sides.
Looking at your tire like an iPhone. Look, no bezel.
Stupid.
Oh my God. Let's continue.
Oh yeah. So Young Boy Never Broke Again. our favorite. He was arrested on felony gun and drug charges. I guess he was detained in Baton Rouge on Monday night, again. I guess he was alongside the 15 other, or he's taken into custody alongside with 15 other people. He's possession of Schedule 1 drug.
With an intent to distribute Schedule 2 and 4 drugs,
yes,
as well as illegal possession of a firearm. Allegedly, $79,000 worth in cash as well.
So, you know, that's just dope right there.
Whoops.
How'd you see me with all this money?
Lesson learned. Don't bring your business to the music video.
Nope.
Do not bring, like, your entire business of operations to the music video.
Nope. Diversify your assets.
I don't know, maybe, like, buy a South Baton Rouge office or something. Leave that shit there.
Yeah, so, good job, idiot.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in jail.
Meanwhile, a little boat. Lil Yachty's something else.
Lil Yachty's been arrested for driving more than 150 miles per hour in the state of Georgia.
And he crashed another one of his Ferraris in Atlanta. Earlier this year. So, he's facing reckless driving charges for driving 150 on Atlanta Interstate. Fucking A, it's not the Autobahn, dude. He's pulled over in a white Ferrari. I hope it said Lil Boat on the side.
So bad. I hate that he endangers people, but...
Seriously, 150 is that. That's very excessive.
150 is like... I mean, also, I think America just needs more places you can just drive cars fast legally.
I mean, yeah, but also you need a better DMV in that regard more DMV, like better testing, I guess I should say, because there's a lot of people who wouldn't know what to do when you're driving at that speed.
Oh yeah, I don't want the American roads with 150 miles per hour. Fuck, like I don't think anyone in Orange County should be allowed to drive above 50.
Extreme true. All right, going on to our last album review of the day.
Shiver.
So we have Shiver by Yonzi. It is 11 songs, 52 minutes long. Yonzi is the frontman of Sigaros, one of my favorite bands. He's done like a bunch of projects throughout the past couple of years, doing a bunch of different soundscape things, different things with different artists, movie stuff. But his last proper album was in 2010, which was Go. So, and that was I really enjoyed Go when it came out in 2010. I still listen to it quite often. It's, you know, really happy, upbeat, like ethereal. That was kind of the style of Sigur Rós for a while. And then when Sigur Rós did their last album, which was 2013, it was more dark. It was more experimental. And even some of their other work has been more dark and whatnot going into that. And Shivers definitely going into that latter realm of just experimenting with so many different sounds. It is the polar complete opposite of Go, which is crazy because I was like, okay, let's see. I know he's done a lot of different things, but when I listen to singles, I'm like, whoa, okay, I didn't know he's going to go straight up like Sophie and just go mental with some electronics and see what happens. And
yeah,
it's different for sure.
We're really kind of leaning into, especially with a number of the songs, like the newly crowned genre hyperpop or like industrial pop, where you're just
I call it glitch pop. It's like, I want to call it like Audio Face first. It's a new, like this genre I call is glitch pop because that's the best way to explain it to somebody, because I remember I was trying to explain this to my woman yesterday, and like, it's glitch pop, I guess, is the best way to say it, because like there'll be electronic sounds that literally abrupt stopped, or there'll be like the Sophie style electronic, which is like
very loud,
really loud and obnoxious and like in your ears, but it's like industrial at the same time and still abruptly hot stop vocals do the same thing, and it's very different. First song, Exhale, starts very, very slow and builds to like the later half of the song. It's like it gets into the industrial pop, and then it's beautiful track. I think it's a really good opener for it. His voice, amazing. That was the one single that we did review earlier in the year. And I think it's a perfect opener to get you into the album because there's a lot of experimentation throughout it naturally, and there's a lot of stuff in there where not too many people are going to enjoy it, but for someone who's looking into it, Exhale's a perfect song into it. And you really get to hear his voice, different layers that go into it. Great opening track. I do enjoy it. After that, you have Shiver, title track, which is actually, if you listen to Go before, there's a couple tracks that actually sound similar to this, but in a very different regard. So it's almost like an upbeat industrial, which is really, really hard to do, and I haven't heard someone actually produce something like that before, where it's an upbeat version of it, a happy beat version of it, because usually it's more like really dark and demented, but this one was like happy, kind of on the nose of it, but definitely the production in the middle, it's like crunchy electronica and stuff, and it's good. It's interesting to hear that, because I'm like, wow, okay, I haven't really heard someone do too much into that with it. So first two tracks are definitely, that gets you into it. I enjoy it. Cannibal with Elizabeth Frazier is trippy as fuck. That's definitely when now it's getting into the experimental range of the album. It's like literally talking about somebody being a cannibal, or like going into it like, it's okay. It's like going into the own depths of your own brain and own mind into it as well. Elizabeth Frazier's part's gorgeous. One thing that's definitely a thing with most of the tracks into it is they start out, a couple of them start out quick, but most of them start out slow, and it takes a while for it to build, and then it builds towards the end, like the last minute of the song gets more faster paced, faster and faster, and goes into it. There is some deviation into it, but the first half of the album, you can definitely hear that.
Yeah. Directly after that with Wild Eye, especially, I think, is when you get to the hyperpop.
I was going to ask you, how would you think of Wild Eye? We went too far, my straight friend. There's no reason to pretend. I guess we could, avoid it. There's no return or goodbye, kid.
I like the execution of it because, like, it's the overall, like, idea of glitch pop, hyper pop, whatever you want to call it, is that pop is this very, like, happy, cheery, almost to a fault thing. Not always happy, cheery, because Blackpink, a lot of that album was about, that we reviewed earlier, the K-pop album was about love and losing
exactly.
Losses especially, and kind of those emotions.
And all that. Yeah.
And so you can definitely have dark pop, Billie Eilish example, but generally pop is very happy, hypey, whatever. And then there are a lot of different angles and ways you go about that. Like, there's dark pop, like we said with Billie Eilish, but the musical way of expressing sort of like hatred or wanting to go directly against that is almost hyperpop and glitch pop, yeah. where you're taking the song construction itself and taking all the happy moments out and glitching them,
yeah.
making it seem like it's almost as though like you're seeing static, but the sounds are like, yeah, the clanging noises, the industrial random yeah. stuff. And so that kind of acts as the background, the percussion mostly of the album. And so it's going to drive you crazy if you're not used to it.
Yeah, it's like Sophie. It's like Sophie, exactly. Yeah,
if you're me, you're going to fucking dig it.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, I think Dan's going to really enjoy this album.
Yes.
And I like the second half of Wild Eye, then goes into a house beat, which is really random.
Yeah.
And then it just like stops and then goes slow back into it, which is like, wow, holy shit, that's a lot in one song.
Yeah, I do like that it goes, usually glitch pop stays within pop construction.
Yeah.
I like that this then went into a slower house beat and then came back out into the larger percussive kind of like crescendo
yes.
of the project. And then that's kind of sets the tone for everything. You get like a little bit of industrial notes here and there and mm-hmm. the glitch pop aspects, but a lot of it is really, that stuff kind of acts as the crust, if you will, the side parts to the rest of the album, which is a lot of good but dark instrumentation. I don't want to skip too far ahead, but like I have examples of that later.
Well, you have two songs that come out of that, which are in Icelandic. Jónsi is from Iceland. His actual name is Jón Pár Bergsson, but it's short for, I guess Jónsi is literally a nickname that they do for his first name.
Jónsi, Shorzy.
Right. So the song, I'm going to butcher it, but Sumer Sam Adre Kom. That's
if, right anyone's after
if anyone is Icelandic, let me know how I pronounce that, because I know the D with a cross is like a DT sound, because my favorite song pop that I get is that. But anyways, that's when it slows down and you really get to hear his voice, and it's like, shit, it's beautiful. And I think it's great that it slowed down in that middle part, because the first four songs, like especially Wild Eyes, like holy crap, that's a lot to ingest in your ears and what's to process. And then it slows down for these two in Icelandic, that it's just okay, it's beautiful, and you don't even know, you need to know what he's saying to understand like the depths of that song. Then it's starting to get more dark, a little bit kind of like the last Sigur's album that came out, some other projects they've done. Chorale's more the same. They're both about like 6 minute tracks. Chorale's maybe a little bit happier because of the chimes and stuff up in the middle. There's little like beat boops, I like to call them. So that almost sounds like a little bit like a throwback to Go, but just a lot slower. And then you get to Salt Licorice with Robin, which is a very interesting track, which then it gets more into that glitch pop stuff, but it's like hype. Now it's like super hyper pop with Robin. And it's interesting because she's an artist that, I mean, she's fantastic, very good. But some of her work I don't necessarily enjoy too much because it's not the genres that I typically like. And the song is like, I don't know if I like it or I don't like it. I still am trying to figure it out because there's so much to go into that. So it's just like something I never thought I would ever hear Jónsi do is the thing. It's just like so broad and so different.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Robin. I listen to her music a little bit, and I'll say she's always done like really good, interesting collaborations that I think are with like artists I would approve of. There's Chanel Trace that's on here. Mm-hmm. I know she did a Soul Wax song really recently, like a Soul Wax remix.
Yeah.
That's great. So you're in like the right musical realm for me. But yeah, this was really, again, that take on hyper pop that is more pop than hyper. You're more like engaging and leaning into the poppy aspects and adding this extra flair of glitchiness around mm-hmm. it, as opposed to like either that like classic Apple commercial where you're like throwing a hammer at the screen. That's what I consider most of like hyper pop to be. Like,
yeah,
you're throwing the hammer at the screen of pop to destroy it, and it becomes this like crazy clashing thing where you're like, you're fully deconstructing it. But rather than fully deconstructing it, this is using the deconstructed bits to build a new happy song.
Yeah, and it's
which is a nice spin. I think it's executed really well.
I haven't heard anyone really do it this way. And this is because I don't really like Sophie's music at all. I don't like hyper pop at all. But this is something that I haven't heard before. The only thing is close is Yeah Right from Vince Staples, because that's a song that like does that style of deconstruction and everything, and it builds it up with Kendrick and Vince Staples on it, and it's interesting to hear that. So after Salt Licorice, you have Hold, which is more like a decent track. You have Swill, which is another single that was released that I do enjoy. That's more of like kind of your industrial pop, not necessarily hyper pop. And the last two boys, Grenade. Grenade is a really slow, gorgeous track. It kind of builds towards the end. And then Beautiful Boy is a really good song too. It's interesting because he's had like a lot of relationship problems with him and his partner. I can't think of his name right now. Something Summers. He's an American music maker and stuff, and they've been together for, I don't know, 15 plus years or so. So it's interesting to hear stuff because he's like always done, like always about being open and proud of who he is, and he's done that his entire career. So I think it's a gorgeous closing track that like lands the album perfectly into it, and it's a very, very good album. It's a lot of sounds I did not expect to hear from Yonzi, really. I know like there's some projects and stuff before that I've heard kind of like the glitchiness in his music, but I thought those were just side projects because there was work with a lot of different artists.
Yeah.
And he said, which is very interesting, he started working on this album almost like 6 months after he released Go. So in 2010, he started working on this album, and he said that he was already experimenting with it, and he originally wanted to do it all by himself, but he got along with some other producers and other makers, and he tagged him in an Instagram post to actually help him do all the sounds, because he said he had ideas of doing this almost a decade earlier. So he's way ahead of people in that regard, because, you know, EDM didn't really explode until 2013, 2014, and at least in this country. So
yeah,
it's crazy to see
With that kind of, like, long time span, it's difficult to tell, like, what parts were created when.
Yeah, naturally.
But, like, that does go to say still that his brain is sort of on, like, the higher level of music as it's projecting, and the fact that he was able to kind of picture this out going forward is like what music might end up looking like.
Exactly.
And then you get groups like 100 Gex, who have completely removed away from Yonzi and Sigur Rós entirely, who are coming up in an era with a sound and coming out with a sound that I think some of the more poppy things from 100 Gex are that kind of gleeful type of hyper pop that's similar to what's in the Yonzi album that we just reviewed. So I think to be able to have at least even a tiny small amount of foresight to say, no, some of the music I'm making right now can still be made relevant 10 years from now, even though none of us really know what that sound is.
Yeah.
Good mark.
It's
good
crazy. Mark. It's a fantastic album. I'm really happy with it because it even broadened my horizons on a genre that I don't like necessarily, but now it's so showing what you can do within it. So it's, you know, the world is ending, but at least the music's good. So it's Audioface.
Audioface 101.
So this is...
Will it be the dancing Ghanaian pallbearers? How many of those will be...
I'm going to say, 10 pallbearers, 8 and 9 pallbearers, maybe. I'm going to go on a solid 9 pallbearers. So you got 3 on 2 sides, 2 on the front, and then 1 breakdancing on top.
It's fucking Trump's coffin or what? Shit's massive. Gonna have to put the bitch on a forklift. Is the forklift juicing? Got to get the forklift. Okay, anyways. I got to stop for usually we end the Audioface episode with good vibes. That was a lot of bad vibes, even though Trump dying would be pretty funny. But anyways, the arbitrary scale. Fleetwood Mac's Dreams is a song that exists, and it has existed for a while.
Fleetwood Mac's one of my fucking favorite bands ever.
Yes.
Oh my God, love Fleetwood Mac. It's hilarious because there's a TikTok user who did like a clip singing Dreams, and then the
with the song, music in the background while he's drinking the cranberry juice out of the bottle, just skate this longboarding down the street, just being like the most chill homie ever.
Yeah, and because fucking Zeds are like, oh, I found out that song on TikTok. This song is now like, also by the way, the guy received over $10,000 in donations, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But anyways, I guess Dreams is now like just exploding back up randomly because of that, because all of the Zeds are like, oh my God, TikTok. And it received like an 88% increase in streams. I'm like, holy shit. And a 374% jump in download sales Which is insane. By the way, Fleetwood Mac are one of the greatest bands to have ever existed in music. Like, they've pioneered so many sounds in the 70s and 80s that just, I don't even know. That's actually, I want to do a retrospective at some point of bands like Zeppelin, the Beatles, Fleetwood Mac, and a bunch of others that we never get to talk about per se, because obviously they're never going to make music anymore, because some of the members are dead, some of the members are dead. I mean, Stevie Nicks still does her own stuff, still does shows and whatnot. I mean, she's looking amazing for, like, she's in her 70s and she looks like she's like 45 because, you know.
Incredible.
She's got that gypsy blood in her, so.
Yeah, don't think you can say that anymore.
She literally.
Gypsy.
No, she calls herself a gypsy.
Fair.
But yeah, that's why.
Fair. That's like, why. Oh no.
Because she's like, she is a gypsy, so it's
fair.
Like, yeah, it's not derogatory. Also, literally my favorite Fleetwood Mac song is called Gypsy. So
yes.
There's that.
There was even a cover of that done in a.
Gypsy, really?
Yeah, I'll talk about it later, because anyway, we're getting distracted. The donation, so the TikTok user, Nathan Apodaca, a.k.a. 420dogface208.
That's a solid Xbox gamer tag right there.
He was cruising on a skateboard, drinking a jug of Ocean Spray cran raspberry juice. Basically, the story was he was on his way to work, his car broke down, as it usually does, so he just said, fuck it, roll out on his skateboard, decided to skate the rest of the way to work, and just recorded it. Vibes. Immaculate vibes. He has, in the clip's wake, he's received over $10,000 in donations. He's going to use half of that to just surprise his mom, which is so fucking awesome.
All right, that's
and, he's going to try to use the other half to fix his car, fix up his RV. He currently lives in that RV. It has no running water, so he is going to try to do that. But it's nice that our, American social safety net does a really good job of taking care of you as long as you go viral.
Seriously. Go viral. Joe Moses, go viral. All right. That was Audio Face. What does it mean to play us out? So, episode 160, thank you for listening to us. As always, subscribe so you get all the latest news and shit from us at Audio Face Pod on all the social medias. You can follow me, SW Suarez, on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Dan from at Dan from the internet on Instagram, at Dan from the web on Twitter, because that's never changing. Follow us at youtube.audioface.show to see all the clips, because we post multiple clips, and Bane's World did. Shane did reply to us and then he misses us, which is fucking hilarious. So, you know, to catch all that sauciness onto it as Dan is popping up our thing right now.
Now go ahead.
That's it. And we already did Political Report, talked about that, so be sure to check that out when we release stuff. We will be streaming some things for the debates as well, so.
The live streams will be on youtube.com/danfromtheinternet or twitch.tv/danfromtheweb.
And that's it.
Cheers.
Have a good week, folks. Bye.